Today's scripture reading is found in John chapter 15. I will be reading from the ESV verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is the word of the Lord.
Greetings, Trinity. Pastor Jeff here. These are strange times, are they not? Jason's already said we're not trying to pretend like this is a normal Sunday morning because we miss having you here in this auditorium. But we're trying to bring you the typical elements of a worship service so that you can worship yourself as a family, whoever you're with as you watch this video. So hope it ministers to you, and who knows, maybe you're watching this in your jammies and you have a cup of coffee in your hands, maybe you're more comfortable than ever. So that's great. Wherever you are, I thank you for taking time. Thank you for breaking out of whatever else is going on to take time to watch this video and to be a part of this worship service. I'm really thankful for our crew that helped out today to make this possible for Dana and for Scott and for Grace coming in and presenting and leading that music. Hope you were able to sing along and just let the words of that music minister to you. Appreciate Jason lending his voice of comfort and just telling what's going on and reading God's word for us. And thanks to Charles and Hannah. You can't see them, but they're running things back in the sound booth, getting all this ready, getting it uploaded, getting it to you so that you can worship with us today. That song that we sang, and I hope you sang along with it as well, always ministers to me, and maybe especially now in this crazy time that we're in, to be able to say, proclaim together, it is well with our soul, right? No matter what else is going on. And that phrase that caught my attention this time was even the wind and the waves, they still know his name. Even with everything that's going on, God's name is still to be praised. He is still in control. He is still over everything, over the wind, over the waves, over any pandemic. God is still king, and he is sovereign. And so as we come together today from wherever we are, remember, this is testing our belief, right, that the church is not a building. You don't have to be in the building. We are the church. We can still be the church. And so we're practicing what we've always said, and now we have to do it because we cannot be together in a building, but we are still the church. So would you pray with me? Let's start with prayer, and then we're going to dive into God's word together. Our God, we thank you so much that your word is alive and well, that your truth transcends everything. It has for all of time. Your truth is what has held us firm throughout the centuries, through war and famine and pestilence, everything that has come into our world, come and gone, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and your word is consistent and true. And so thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word today. And Lord, this is no accident that we are in John 15. Really believe this is your word for us in this time, for this season, that you are calling us to abide in you, maybe more than ever before. So, Lord, I pray that you would guard my words, help me to accurately communicate what you have for us as a church today. For any who may be listening, Lord, let your word, by its own power and by the ministry of your Holy Spirit, may it speak to us, may it comfort us, may it challenge us, may it be exactly what we need to hear today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So this is week 3 in our series called The Vine. And so today I brought with me a cluster of grapes. This is a pretty good size cluster of grapes. We picked these up at Kroger. You may not find toilet paper, but you can still find grapes. Here's evidence right here. So if you need some grapes, just have at it. This is what we usually think of, right? A cluster of grapes. When we think of fruit, especially when we're talking about a vine, we think of a cluster of grapes. But we're going to put up a picture. You're going to see it on your screen there, whatever device you're using. It's a picture of an amazing cluster of grapes. I found this online. This is somewhere in Palestine. I don't even know where exactly where it is or when this was taken or how in the world they grew this kind of a cluster of grapes. But that is some serious fruit right there. And, when I see that picture, it makes me think of that story. Remember when the Israelites were getting ready to go into the land, Moses sent the spies in, and they come back out and they say, the land is abundant. It's flowing with milk and honey. And they bring back a cluster of grapes so huge, they had to put it on a pole carried between the shoulders of a couple guys. And it must have looked something like this. That is fruit. And that's what we're talking about this morning. You know, we spent 2 weeks in John 15, and we talked about the joy of abiding the first week, about the pain of pruning last week. And so this morning, we're going to jump right back to that same passage. If you don't already have your Bible or electronic device, as you heard Jason read the passage, then please get that now. Please follow along as we look at this passage. Because in this parable that Jesus tells, he identifies himself as the true vine. He identifies the Father as the vine dresser. He talks about us as being the branches. And though we've mentioned fruit just every week in the series, we've never really stopped to describe what that fruit is. And so that's going to be our focus today. And our title for this message is The Fruit of Remaining. So notice the progression. And Jesus comments about the fruit in this passage. If you look back at verse 2, Jesus says that the vine dresser wants us to bear fruit. And then you get the second part of verse 2, and he says the vine dresser prunes us for more fruit. And then you get to verse 5, and Jesus is calling for much fruit. And so perhaps it happened this way, that we've talked about how this happened, this discussion happened between the upper room. Jesus and the disciples had left that. They were on their way to the Mount of Olives, and perhaps they passed a vineyard on the way. And maybe Jesus is pointing out to them some fruit, some grapes, some clusters, and he sees one, and then there's a bigger one, and a larger one yet. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. What we do know here is that Jesus used some of the last moments of his life before he went to the cross to teach this parable to his disciples. This must have been something important, something he wanted them to remember, to make this some of the final words that he spoke to them. And I'm sure it's because what he's talking about here is a personal connection to him, represented by abiding. He's talking about spiritual fruitfulness that emerges when we do abide with him. And all that is vitally important to the life of the believer. So we're going to take a few minutes to peel back this fruit and to ask some key questions this morning. So the points are in the form of questions. And the first is probably the most basic question of all. What is this fruit? What is it? Because Jesus doesn't give us a specific answer in the text. He identifies the vine and the vine dresser and the branches, but not the fruit. But he gives a clue in verses 4 and 5. I'd like to read those verses again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So whatever this fruit is, what we know here is that we cannot produce it on our own, right? Whatever this fruit is, it only comes when we're connected to Jesus, when he's pouring his life-giving sap into us. Because without Jesus, this kind of fruit will not emerge in your life. So what is this fruit that only Jesus can produce in us? Well, we also get a few clues from the very nature of fruit itself. I quoted from Warren Wiersbe last week, pastor and author, that he says this about the fruit. A machine can produce results, and so can a robot, but it takes a living organism to produce fruit. It takes time and cultivation to produce fruit. A good crop does not come overnight. So his point is that the fruit here in John 15 cannot refer to a product that we produce, that we make ourselves. It's something that flows from our connection to Jesus, and it happens over time as a result of God's cultivating work in us. Maybe there's an illustration from one commentator I read who said this. He said, the Christian should resemble a fruit tree, not a Christmas tree. For the decorations of a Christmas tree are only tied on, whereas fruit grows on a fruit tree. So Jesus isn't looking for tied on decorations in our lives, things that we put there to ornament ourselves and to try to make ourselves better. No, he wants to work in us and through us to produce this fruit. So let's look at some other passages. Let's see how the Bible describes fruit. So you can follow along here. We'll put the verses up on the screen for you so you see them. Just these phrases from some of these verses. Colossians 1:10 is the first. Paul talks about bearing fruit in every good work. So certainly good works that we do in the power of Christ, those could be considered fruit, right? You go to John 4 and other places where Jesus uses harvest as a symbol of people ready to come to faith. And he says in John 4:26, he talks about the gathering fruit for eternal life. So the fruit of our lives can refer to the people who come to faith through our witness about Christ. Another passage, Romans 6:22, Paul refers to fruit as the process of sanctification. So the fruit you get leads to sanctification, Paul says. The Lord's work of spiritual formation in our lives, like we talked about a few weeks ago. That spiritual growth, that's part of the fruit as well. Even the praise that we give to God is called the fruit of our lives. And so Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So abiding in Christ produces this fruit of worship. And by the way, that's not just corporate worship. That's not just what happens when we gather here. That's part of it. But worship is, as the writer here says, it's part of the way that we express our praise to God. Hopefully, that fruit of your lips was being exhibited as you watched and sang along with the songs this morning. You can offer up the fruit of praise anywhere you are, at any time. And of course, then there's the most familiar passage on fruit. It's one we studied a few weeks ago. Jason preached on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So abiding in Christ allows his Spirit to produce these character traits in us. That is the fruit of our lives. So, what is spiritual fruit? Well, I think we can come to somewhat of a definition here based on these passages, putting all this together. Spiritual fruit is the character, the attitudes, the words, and the deeds that only Christ can produce in our lives. In a word, it's Christ-likeness. That's the fruit. And there's something else unique about this fruit that Jesus is talking about. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't turn brown. It doesn't rot. This fruit lasts. It's what Jesus says in John 15, verse 16. So go a little further in the passage here, verse 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Jesus produces in us fruit that lasts, fruit that remains. It's what people will remember about you. When my dad passed away back in 2009, we had a memorial service there at Toccoa Falls College, and there were people who spoke at that service, of course. There were people who sent in their condolences. But, you know, in all that was said at that service, nobody talked about what my dad owned. They didn't talk about important people that he knew. They didn't even talk about positions that he had held. They talked about him, about who he was, about how he had influenced and impacted their lives. See, they talked about his character. They talked about the deeds of his life. They talked about the fruit. That's what was most important. So what will people remember about you? What will you remember? This is not just about the end of your life. This is about even seasons of your life. So what fruit is going to emerge in you even through this crisis time, even through this pandemic? What is this going to bring out of you? Will it be the spiritual fruit produced by abiding in Christ during this time? Or will it be whatever stuff you manage to do and accumulate on your own? That's the fruit. And now that we know what Jesus is talking about, when he mentions fruit, the spiritual fruit of our lives, then we need to ask another key question. Why is this fruit so important? Why was this so important to Jesus? It's clear from the parable that fruit bearing is important, but why? Well, we saw last week that the vine dresser goes through these extreme measures to assess our fruitfulness. He lifts us up. He prunes us. He calls us to abide in Christ so that we will be more fruitful in the vine. But then he gets to verse 8. Jesus gives us then two significant motivations for fruit bearing. So look at verse 8 with me. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So simply put here, fruit bearing glorifies God. Again, this totally fits Jesus' metaphor, right? A vineyard that produces delicious, abundant grapes like this, that's a credit to a vine dresser. Somebody that worked with those grapes and cultivated that vineyard. Because you see, grapevines on their own, left to themselves, those branches go wild. They're unproductive. When we lived in Toccoa, Georgia, we had a muscadine grapevine that just grew up wild alongside our driveway. And it was so wild. Sometimes in some years, you could barely even find it. It would be under the branches, in the bushes. And if you could find it, and you could find a little piece of fruit on it, it was barely edible. It was sour and bitter. No, it's only when properly cultivated and cared for and disciplined that branches then begin to bear much fruit. And so the glory then goes to that gardener who does all that so that fruit will emerge. I mean, to the one cultivating that vineyard when that fruit emerges. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says, left on our own, we're wild, we're unfruitful. But when God's cultivating work in our lives produces fruit, then he gets the glory. Now, many of you have probably been to Gibbs Gardens. And it's not too far, maybe 10 minutes away from Trinity here. It's right down Yellow Creek Road. It's 220 acres of beautiful trees and bushes and flowers. And do you know why it's called Gibbs Gardens? Probably you do. It's because it's Jim Gibbs who planted that garden. Jim Gibbs has a landscaping company in Atlanta, and it was his dream that to use this property in the mountains of North Georgia and put a garden in it. Now, you understand, right, that garden didn't just pop up on its own. All the flowers and the landscaping and the special trees and everything beautifully arranged, that didn't just happen on its own. That's the touch of a gardener. So when you see the gardens, you are appreciating, you're glorifying the vision of Jim Gibbs. When others see fruit in your life, they're appreciating the vision and the work of the vine dresser in you. Peter says you should live your life for God in front of unbelievers so that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Others glorifying God when they see that fruit that God produces in your life. You know, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. If you want to glorify God, abide in Christ and bear fruit. That brings glory to Him. There's another reason why our fruit is so important. That's the first, but Jesus gives another one at the end of verse 8. He says, "And so prove to be my disciples." So fruitfulness is the evidence of discipleship. The godly character, the good works that flow from our lives show that we're walking with Jesus. It shows that we're abiding with Jesus. And so think of it again in connection with the parable. You show that you're a living branch connected to the vine by the fruit of your life. Jesus gave another brief parable about fruit when he was speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Again, we'll put this up for you. Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit." So Jesus is saying here, if a tree is good, then it will produce good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it's going to produce bad fruit. I was thinking about this and remembering as a kid growing up, there was an ornamental crab apple tree in our neighborhood. And I remember going to that tree. I didn't know all the differences and different varieties and so on. So it looked like an apple tree to me. And so I remember pulling some of the fruit off that, biting into it, expecting it to taste like an apple. But it didn't. It tasted terrible. Because an ornamental crab apple tree does not produce tasty, luscious, edible fruit. But if you go to one of these pick-your-own apple farms, orchards around here in North Georgia, and you go up to one of those trees, if you pull the fruit off, very likely it's going to be tasty, wonderful, edible. That's an apple tree. So you'll know that it's not a crab apple tree by its fruit. Good tree, good fruit. Jesus is telling us here that just as the fruit indicates the kind of tree or plant that it is, so the fruit of your life shows whether you're connected to the vine or not. It indicates whether you're a true disciple or not. So spiritual fruit is absolutely necessary in our lives because of two reasons. It brings glory to God, and it shows that we are followers of Jesus. And that leads to our last question. How do we produce much fruit? If that's our desire, that's God's desire for us, how do we produce much fruit? Go back to the key verses again, back to verses 4 and 5 in our text. Jesus there tells us how not to produce fruit. It doesn't come just by working harder or trying to make that fruit appear on our own, that there is no fruit unless we abide in the vine. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that brings us full circle. We're right back to where we were, the first sermon in this series, on what it means to abide in Christ. Fruit comes from abiding. More fruit comes from more abiding. And so much fruit comes from much abiding. Right. Here's the key to this parable right here. Jesus is giving us his word. He's making us a promise. He's saying, if you will only abide in me, stay connected to me, trust in me, live in close relationship to me, Jesus is saying, then you will bear fruit. We won't be able to help it. It's a certainty for those who are abiding in Christ. It's the inevitable result of abiding in Him. Look again at verse 16. Look what Jesus says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So if you've been chosen by Christ for salvation, if He has stepped into your life, you have accepted His gift of salvation, then this is your purpose. This is your life purpose right here. This is your assignment for life. Jesus will produce fruit in you, fruit that remains, fruit that's eternal. And only spiritual fruit can do that. It's the only kind of fruit that lasts, like Jesus describes here. You are God's eternal gardening project. Do you know the difference between an annual and a perennial? I'll admit, I wouldn't have known the difference, couldn't explain it to you, if Beth hadn't taught me this some years ago. She's the gardener in our family, so she explained to me that an annual is a plant that grows and blooms just once. It doesn't come back again the next year. If you want that plant again, you've got to replant it for the next year. Like a pansy. You plant pansies each year. They don't come back up automatically every year, year after year. But that's what a perennial does. So a perennial dies back. It might look dead, but it's not. There's still life in the roots or the bulb, and so it regrows, it reblooms every year, like a daffodil. Jesus, our vine, in that sense, is a perennial. He continues to produce growth and fruit in our lives year after year after year as we continue to abide in Him. So we're living with this COVID-19 pandemic, right? We're living with these limitations of social distancing, but those limitations do not have to hinder our fruitfulness. I want you to hear that today, that the first response to what's going on and to this passage should be to abide even more. And being separated from the world, separated from one another, that gives us more time to draw near to God. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, abiding more in Him. But it also means we can continue to bear fruit. Because if we continue abiding, the fruit will continue to come. So you, even in this time of crisis, you can be an encouragement to your family. You can bless your neighbors. You can give to those who are most affected or hurt by this pandemic. You can tell someone else about God. Tell them that He is the one that provides security and safety even in the midst of chaos. You know, leading someone to Jesus may be the most important eternal fruit that you could ever bear. If you abide in Him, the vine will pour His fruit-producing sap into you, and everlasting fruit will be produced in your life. I want to close with a story. John Bunyan was a country preacher in 17th century England. He was considered a nonconformist of his day because he would not bow to the restrictions of the state church, and so he was thrown into prison because he was preaching the gospel. Now, he would have only been imprisoned for 3 months if he would have agreed that when he was released to stop preaching. But he wouldn't do that. In fact, what he said was, if I were out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow with the help of God. So his prison term continued on for 12 years. So as a preacher myself, I can barely imagine what this must have been like for Bunyan. Silenced for 12 years. Now, unable to do what God had called him to do. How in the world can you produce fruit when you're locked away in a prison cell? Well, during that imprisonment, John Bunyan continued to write sermons. Even though he couldn't preach them, he wrote them. And those later became books. In fact, while he was in prison, he began writing, wrote most of what is his most famous work, The Pilgrim's Progress. That spiritual classic has pointed untold numbers of people to Christ since it was published some 342 years ago. So more than attaining his freedom, Bunyan was focused on knowing Christ and proclaiming his gospel in whatever way that he could. And so looking back on his imprisonment, Bunyan said this. Listen to these words. If I were fruitless, it mattered not who commended me. But if I were fruitful, I cared not who did condemn me. See, Bunyan knew what was most important in his life. He knew that spiritual fruit was his one and his only calling. That even the cruelest form of social distancing, his imprisonment, that could not prevent him from abiding in Christ. It could not prevent lasting fruit emerging from his life. Trinity Church, we have the potential for producing huge clusters of beautiful spiritual fruit that will last for eternity. If we will simply abide in the vine, in Jesus. So my question for us today is, will we use this COVID-19 shutdown as an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus, to abide in the vine? Will we allow the vine dresser to cut and to prune in our lives so that we bear more fruit? Will you make fruit bearing your highest aim and your lifetime goal? Jesus said, by this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us these words, for this parable, this vivid image of the vine and the vine dresser and the branches and the fruit. And Lord, it's the desire of our hearts to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit for your glory. Lord, we want to show that we are your disciples, and that comes as we bear fruit. So, Lord Jesus, keep us connected to you. And Lord, I pray that even in the midst of the fears, even in the midst of the crises, even in the midst of the wondering about finances or jobs or friends, neighbors, and family who maybe we can't see face to face right now, Lord, in the midst of all that, would you be our comfort? Help us to stay connected to you. Help us to keep producing fruit for your glory so that you, in the end, through all of this, will be glorified. That people will come to know you, even in the midst of this crisis. And Lord, may we be that evidence. May we be the branches producing more and more fruit. Lord, be the one that works in our lives. Bring your encouragement. Bring your life-giving spirit to us so that we can represent you well. Lord, I pray for our church, for Trinity, as we're scattered and spread and unable to meet together, may we be clear examples of what it means to abide in the vine. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will be back together, when we together will be able to praise you, we'll be able to talk about the things that you did in our lives, the way that you grew us and changed us and challenged us, and the way that you produced fruit in us even in this time. Lord, thank you for that expectation, that anticipation. Do your work in us as only you can do. Thank you for being divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Trinity Church, thank you so much for tuning in. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing this week, allow the vine to pour his life into you so that you can bear fruit for him. Abide much this week, and the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.